Z. Hernandez. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. This is the third story where we speak with, well, pretty much everyday folks just about their interesting stories and paths and journeys that they've taken. Today, my special guest is a good friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, named Carlos Rodriguez. Carlos Rodriguez, he is based out of Central California's San Joaquin Valley, which is my original homeland where I was born and raised myself. Carlos is a third-generation musician and producer. He composes music, he teaches music, he performs on stage with his band, Mezcal, but also a couple of other bands there, doing a lot of rock, Latin rock, jazz fusion, just a lot of wonderful, I think, just arrays of music that he gets involved with. And he's also quite a bit of a community, I'll say community activist, but more like a cultural warrior, I'll call him, you know, because he does a lot of stuff for the culture there in the San Joaquin Valley and across California. He lives actually in the town of Visalia, California, where my folks are from, where I grew up and went to high school as well. I've known Carlos, I want to say, gosh, maybe for at least 20 years now. Just a good all-around guy. He has a lot of interesting stories. He's collected a lot of stories along the way, and we're going to get into that conversation right now. We invite you to it right here on Words on a Wire.
Words on a Wire. Wire.
Words on a Wire. 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 Wire.
Carlos Rodriguez, welcome to Words on a Wire, my brother.
How you doing, my man? What's going on?
Good. I'm good, man. I can see because, you know, our listeners can't see that we are just on Zoom right now. I'm recording this through Zoom, but I can see your face on the other end, and you look like a happy new father, bro. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yep. It's our daughter was born on Saturday early morning around 2:20 a.m. and we're just trying to catch up with that whole event right there. We're trying to find out where, what our new rhythm is going to be like.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. I saw it. And thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy life there, you know, on top of everything else you're doing. You know, you already have also a son and you're a family man, and now you got a new baby just a few days ago, and you're like agreeing and willing to talk with me on this radio show. So thanks, bro, for doing that.
Yeah, you got it, man. We just made an extra large bottle for her, and she's okay. Back. They're all drunk on Similac.
Hey, what is her name?
Lola. We named her Lola.
Nice. Lola.
Yeah, we like the whatever Lola wants, Lola gets kind of thing, you know?
You know what's kind of cool is that your son is also, if I can, his name is Desi. Also, you call him Desi, which is, you know, Lola and Desi are like, these are like 1940s names, you know?
You know what? That's when my wife and I were going through names. I just wanted something like that, that reminded me of kind of going back of like in an old photo album or something like that. And like, who is that? You know? And it's like, oh, that's your great grandma or your tia Lola, you know, something like that. I don't know. I just, it seemed like I wanted to do something like that with something that was more just modern, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like Carlos or Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, we had some we wanted to make sure that the names, I don't know why I wanted a name that ended in a vowel, and I like something, you know, obviously Latinos, you know, kind of like we just played around. We had a bunch of different names but we didn't expect this one to be a little girl. You know, we didn't know what what we were having for either of the babies. So both were major surprises. We went old school, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, congrats on that, brother. And, you know, I want to get into that too, because I know that I want to ask you questions about fatherhood being a working artist, you know? Yeah. You know, you're always, I've seen you because I follow you also, of course, on social media. I see you always on stage with before it was just like always Carlos Rodriguez and either Carlos Rodriguez with Mezcal of his band or Carlos Rodriguez on his own touring the universe. You know, I don't know. It was like, but now I always see you, on stages performing with your wife, who's also a musician, and even your son, your young son is on the stages with you. You know, how's that been trying to balance your family life with your music?
It's, I mean, fortunately, I get a lot of support. My wife is a warrior, and she helps make all this possible. And so, with Desi, you know, I can't make a four-year-old do anything, right? And if he wants to play, then he plays. You know, I don't entice him with an ice cream or anything like that. You know, it's yeah. like he just does it. You know, and
music is so, a gift.
Yeah, we're grateful that he enjoys it. I told my wife, look, I don't expect our children to be musicians at all. I just want them to know that this is who we are, and they can find out what they want to do. And no one made me play music, and so it's just been honestly a blessing to see how much he's taken to wanting to play with us and be on stage, and how he picks up on all the little things that I don't realize that I do on stage. You know, one example is he was on stage with us a while back over at a brewery, and you know, a family style brewery. Anyways, I was trying to tell the chords to the song to the bass player who didn't know the song we were going to perform with my wife. And as I was saying the chords wrong, the bass player shook his head and started laughing. And my son pointed at me like, look at this guy. He doesn't even know the chords. And he shook his head laughing too. And he picked up on the fact that we were kind of winging it up there. And it was just funny to see him react that way. I actually didn't see it. It was my wife who pointed it out. She says, look, he's kind of mocking you, you know, or when I'm playing a guitar solo, he steps on my guitar pedals because he thinks they're his guitar pedals. So I could be in the middle of a solo and all of a sudden my overdrive either gets turned off or turned on or some weird effect. And I have to, you know, my eyes were closed and I thought I was in my own world, you know, doing the solo. And there's Desi stepping on my pedals like, nah, this is his turn, you know.
So
it's funny how also the crowd will all show up to a place and they don't see him. And the first thing they ask is, where's Desi? We came to see him. So that's kind of funny how that happened pretty fast, my man. I thought it was going to be years before that took place. But you know, as far as the balancing part goes, you know, I wouldn't say that we have it all figured out. It's really we got a dry erase board calendar that's constantly being updated and changed. And we try to figure out how to pre-plan everything. But sometimes it can get kind of hectic, but we both, my wife and I, we want to have our family together as much as we can when we're playing. And if it's appropriate, we make that possible.
Yeah. that's what I noticed, you know, and I can see why your son would be the main attraction, some of your performances, you know. He's got charisma already. He's only like four. So, you know, he's got a lot of charisma, a lot of energy, you know?
Yeah. It's the opposite of how my wife walks into a room. My wife walks into a room hoping that no one notices her. And Desi is the opposite, you know what I'm saying? So he puts on a cowboy shirt and he's wearing boots and he wants, you know, it's just funny how she just said, man, I can't believe that's my son who enjoys it. So yeah, it's definitely a trip seeing your offspring doing whatever it is that they're going to do.
Yeah, because they do. I agree. They do mirror you in one way, like, you know, your children will mirror you. And then on another way, they actually kind of almost act in the world opposite of what you would do. And it's like, wow, where did that come from? Which is like their own character, their own personality, you know?
Yeah, I would not have, even though that I've always been like, I guess, since I've been able to acknowledge playing music, I can remember I've been someone who likes, you know, who's a ham on stage and wants to like try to entertain people. But Desi will go around fist bumping everyone in the as he walks in. I know for sure I wasn't doing that, you know what I'm saying? Or I mean I wouldn't just, you know, I guess exchange with, you know, someone I never met before. And that's kind of funny. But you know, it's like I said, you know, we do it at our places that we know where it's comfortable and that everyone's cool and with it. And you know, we're just going to try to navigate through this, man. It's like, you know, there's no playbook for this stuff, man. And we will learn to go. And so it's an exciting time. And Lola, too, Daniela has been performing with me every Sunday over at Crawdaddy's in downtown Visalia. And so that means Lola's been on stage and heard our voices through microphones and heard my guitar and heard my wife play the melodica. So, you know, when they said that they did the hearing test as a newborn, The nurse said, well, your daughter passed within 2 seconds. She recognized the sound, you know? And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, some babies, it takes 30, 40 minutes. And she's wow. Your daughter. I said, well, how does that work? Because they had these weird headphones on them, you know? And I guess it sends some type of impulse where their brain sends an impulse back and she recognized right away. So it's just amazing because I can't wait to get to know her and see how she's going to. I mean, like I said, there are things that are going to be beyond our doing, you know, all of y'all is, you know, we try, you know, to compliment and assist and direct, but ultimately they have their own onda.
They do have their own onda. Speaking of onda, how would you describe your music, Carlos? Like, not necessarily like, you know, because I know you're involved in different bands, different projects over the years, but like your own music, like what you love doing, the style that you love playing, how do you describe what your interest, your music is?
Well, I think that I love, you know, rhythms from around the world. And so therefore, when I'm working on a song, I don't think anything necessarily popular up front right away. Yeah. I used to find it as a handicap or something I would struggle with. I only thought about what I liked when I was creating instead of what other people may like. But it's funny, the more that I start studying about writing and creating, they actually say that you're not supposed to write for someone else, you know?
Right. And yeah.
It's funny how, and so therefore the music that I play outside of my band or that I at least record and that I plan on sharing this year is primarily moody instrumental music that has a, you know, guitar centered or a guitar focus with percussion from either Africa, you know, or the Caribbean islands. And I like I've been a fan of Latin jazz, and yeah. So I kind of I always like to dive into that, you know, kind of stuff. And
yeah,
definitely not TikTok style music, I can tell you. You know, funny, I was just watching a feed online how they were talking about how all the music is, well, the popular music anyways today is made to be consumed within, you know, these small minute sound bites.
Yeah.
And it takes me, and this is something I have to work on. Well, it takes me a while to build up to something that I'm creating, you know, and therefore it's not, you know, I, like yourself, we grew up to listening to a long form music, whether it was on an LP or we listened to the whole cassette tape, you know, so on side A, and then we flipped over to side B or whatever. I love that, man. I don't know, you know, and you know, maybe the audience will be smaller for that or who knows, whatever. It doesn't really, that's just how I choose to express myself that way, where it's going to take me 4 minutes to get to what I want to do, you know? And
yeah.
And so I've been influenced by by the sounds of the Latino acts in the 70s is a major influence on me.
Yeah. So like Chicano rock, stuff like that.
Definitely Chicano rock. And you know, whether that's the Midnighters and the East Side, East LA sound of oldies, more of like electric guitar style, like Jorge Santana from Malo and Carlos Santana and stuff like that. And right. You know, those will always be there. Even if I try to take a long hot shower, it's still gonna come out when I'm playing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, man. And you know, you come from a long, long line of musicians, like going like way back to like the Garden of Eden, right? Like, but no, tell us about like your family's like lineage and your family's rooted in music for generations already. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I've been grateful and to be part of a family legacy of entertainers and musicians. My I believe now, I haven't done the math, but I know we're into like fourth generation musicians. But my grandfather, Don Jose, was definitely the pioneering mariachi and a lot of these Central California towns. Yeah. Even in where they came, when they first came over from Jalisco, was one of the first mariachi groups that ended up in the Central Coast town of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. And so they were performing, and he was teaching along with my his. He had 12 children, and the majority of them played, or most of the elder ones. You know, with that amount of kids, there's going to be a definite, like almost like a generational divide halfway through. But a lot of the older ones played traditional mariachi music with him, and they worked. You know, and in the fields and during the day, and then played at night, and traveled all over, through California up into Washington and Oregon.
Oh yeah, so, that's right.
You know, all that, and so there for my father played vihuela and guitar, and that's how I ended up in my living room, basically. You know, music, but I've always been in love with the rhythms, and I've never actually performed it with a mariachi group. It's still something that I'm going to do, it's been embedded. Listening to, you know, instruments being tuned at any time of the day, at night, man. I'm used to hearing a violin or a guitarrón getting tuned up. It could be 1 o'clock in the morning; they're getting ready to start playing again. You know, so it was just one of those things. I remember seeing a closet over my grandparents' house that had the instruments. And there was maracas in there, and like an afuche or a cabasa. It's also known as a cabasa. And tinkering around there and getting scolded to get out of there because I was little, you know. But it just seemed like, man, this room couldn't be any, you know, more fascinating and huge. And it wasn't big, you know. That's just where they put all their, and you know, it was a closet. And so now I turn around and I look, and I wonder if that's what my kids see when they walk into my personal studio, you know?
Yeah. Fascination, you know, and I know that you perform in a band, Mezcal, which is like a sibling band, you know. It's got your sister, you know. I know your sister's a wonderful musician also. Your brother's, Steve's a wonderful musician as well. You got cousins, Marilyn and Rosalie in Los Angeles performing, making names for themselves also. So like, your family roots are like, you know, spread throughout California musically. You know, I noticed that.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of from the same family, and a lot of the children who are, of course, now adults and have their own families, and have continued to perform and many different style of music, genres, stages, and you know, whether it's you know, people have done some major recording, you know, and, you know, one are credited with accomplishments and stuff. And so it's all, you know, started because of what my grandfather did, who, you know, was self-taught, and decided to, you know, take that a step further, which is my, like you mentioned, my cousin Marilyn, who is a lead vocalist from Mezcal. We had a conversation coming back from a gig saying that we need to record this original music we're writing right now, so that way that we can leave this, so that those, her children and my children, and going on, you know, and everyone else who's looking up can now push the needle forward after that. Right. Because you guys got this to this point, you know, and for those who want to do it, you know, so that's where we're at right now. Mezcal has been primarily a performing band, and writing band, but I've always been a performing act, and so now we're learning how to deal with the fact that we want to perform less but write more. Nice. And a lot of work that we would have done, you know, in the past in a heartbeat, but now it's more like, well, if we're not really gonna if it's not gonna help the original material they're working on, if it's not the right atmosphere for it, then we're just not gonna do the gig.
Right. Yeah. Good. Right.
It's a great time. And that had to do with Marilyn also coming, who Marilyn has and Rosalie have been performing since they were, you know, I mean, small children, you know, and I mean, not just performing here and there. I mean, they were working every weekend, you know, and missing school and flying
like with the mariachi. Is that what you mean?
And so in other words, for Marilyn to come into the group and say, look, I want to be in Mezcal, but I really want us to write. It was almost like saying, you know, we need to get our asses in gear and do something where it's more like, this is what I want to do, because I don't want to just gig, you know?
Yeah, right.
Perfect, because we were looking for that. We were looking for that too. And so anyhow, that we have, nearly an hour's worth of original material after all these. And we're grateful that the audience has responded to it very well. We just need to sit down and record it. But as you know, scheduling all this kind of stuff, especially the multiple people, it's not for the faint of heart, man. Band leading is definitely shortened my life. I know that for a fact. So I want that on my tombstone. You know what I'm saying? That would help. Yeah, I'm gonna say you guys put me here. No, I was kidding. I have to, negotiate all and schedule all that, but it's gonna happen. Regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Words on a Wire, the third story, and my special guest today is musician Carlos Rodriguez. Plays a lot of Latin rock, 70s Chicano-influenced rock and roll music, and records with his band Mezcal. He's based in Central California, in the San Joaquin Valley, which is my homeland as well. And he and I have been collaborators for many years. And he once told me this wonderful story, man, and you have to tell it for this audience here. I love it. It's a story about, I want to say it was your grandfather's story in Oregon as a mariachi, and they played for Bobby Kennedy on the night before, or the day or two before he was assassinated.
Yes.
Tell me that story.
I don't have all the notes with me because, it's funny how you ask one uncle or another.
Of course.
But that's the beauty of what it is.
That's the beauty.
It's
the beauty of the oral testimony, the oral history, right? It exists and it changes as time goes on, yeah.
Matter of fact, a quick little side note, my cousin Rosalie, since you mentioned her, who's, a professional working musician in the LA area, was in the process, and I'm sure it's still a working thing, of recording the family's documentary, and on camera at one of our family reunions, she had some of the elders in the family, and as they started discussing their beginnings, an argument ensued and had to stop rolling because people were disagreeing on some facts,
yeah, that's not how it happened.
You gotta roll that. I have that footage, what I'm saying? And I was, my uncle just decided to leave, and I was like, we're talking about, this is a long time ago, man,
Of course.
As my family were working up north and following the market farm work that was going on, or that was always going on. Anyways, they found out that they were getting more work up in those areas because there was, a shortage of mariachi music, period, up in those areas, and to entertain the workers. So naturally, the older members of my uncles and that had moved up there. And as people started kind of figuring out who they were, from what I recall, some promoter or manager of community events said, "We need you to play at this event, and Bobby Kennedy will be there." And so my uncle said, "Hey, they just do it, it's a gig's a gig, So they're out there playing. And from what my dad was told was that as they were playing the mariachi music, they could see that Bobby Kennedy was also, he knew the lyrics of the songs they were singing, wow, which they were very impressed by.
Right, right.
And then one of my uncles was able to get him to autograph the vihuela, which is this, the small guitar-like instrument, rhythmic instrument that is a signature sound of a mariachi, by the way. You got a guitarron, you got to have the vihuela. But anyhow, signed it, an autograph. And
Bobby Kennedy signed the vihuela?
Yes.
Okay.
Signed the vihuela. And there's got to, my dad says, somebody's got to have taken photographs of that, which they don't have any, but because it was a big event, he was there he was doing his political rallying, right? Well, I believe that it was within like 48 hours later, he didn't do another rally. He was, other than the one he was scheduled to do down in LA, where he was, assassinated. So this was the last, I think, public performance that they saw him at. And as my relatives returned back home, my grandfather, unbeknownst to him, he's going through the gear and sees that someone signed it, and he got pissed off, got upset, because he said, this is not for scratching and doodling on.
Yeah.
And took it upon himself to sand it down and get rid of the autograph, because this is what they used to earn. And so of course, there goes that, you know, maybe have been the only vihuela ever signed by Bobby Kennedy.
By Bobby Kennedy, and your grandpa was like, what the, what is this? Come on. This is a sacred instrument. This guy's signing stuff.
Nope. And so, you know, there goes that. And it's, I remember hearing about how my uncles were teaching musicians over there that heard this music, and inside the camps, you know, where they have them at in houses, he was teaching also whenever there was downtime, teaching and spreading this sound has also been just it's a part of our life and our legacy, you know.
Yes, for sure. We have about a minute left. Carlos, what do you hope your musical legacy does for people? You know, what do you hope your music accomplishes for all the people that get to hear it and experience it?
You know, it was, I guess what I like is knowing that this music that I grew up listening to, I don't know, it's almost like it became, like Tom Waits said, I'm gonna have to quote what he says, all we really want is for music to love us back the way we love it, you know? And it's funny, you know, this relationship starts, you know, you don't really realize how this begins, you know, I guess like the way true love starts anyways, where it just creeps up, you know? And if music can do something like that for people where they, you know, like, especially something that I'm connected with, something that I've produced or recorded or whatever, somehow touches someone in a way, man, that's the greatest gift ever. You know, that people actually take the time to listen and to create their own interpretation or their own memory with it. That to me is worth more than any stream or any like, you know, anything like that, you know. It's with people, because that's how, when I listen to certain music, that's what I do. I mean, I can hear a song right now and get transported to, I can smell something, I can taste something, and I can see either my cousin's driveway, you know, where we threw rocks at the neighbor's house, and you know, or I can smell the carne asada, you know, in the backyard, you know. My uncles talk about, you know, who was a better baseball player in the 80s, you know. And so it's like, it's just one of those things, man, that I just hope that people find their own memory with music that I create with. And so that's
nice.
That was awesome, man. You know, that'd be the greatest gift, you know.
Awesome. Well, you know, we're fans of your music, and now and always here, you got fans right here on the Frontera in El Paso. And looking forward to everything else that you're creating out there. And folks can find you, I'm sure, on social media and your band, Mezcal, Carlos Rodriguez. It's been a pleasure talking with you, my friend. It's always a good time talking with you.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on your show. And I really appreciate it, Tim, and all the work that you're doing, man. It's a great thing. We're all connected with it somehow, by some way, one way or another, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm happy to be part of this network. Thank you.
And that wraps it up for this edition of Words on a Wire, the third story. I'd like to thank our wonderful online and podcast producers, Ileana Pichardo and Claudia Flores. Also want to thank our in-studio producer, Mr. Sam Casiano. That'll do it for me. We'll see you next week right here, same time, same place. Words on a Wire, the third story on KTEP 88.5 FM.